Welcome, everybody. It's good to see your panim, your faces. Hello, France, if you're in France. Yes. Okay. So we are in very deep week in Jewish time. And so welcome to the 10 days of repentance, of teshuvah, turning and returning and being turned back to our source of being. In Hebrew, these are the days of Yamim Noraim, days of awfulness or days of awe. And we're supposed to be asking for forgiveness and granting forgiveness, but it's awfully hard, awfully hard to forgive and to ask for forgiveness, or simply to have to face and feel the hurts of being an imperfect human who has been hurt and has hurt others. And how often are the ones that we hurt and are hurt by the ones we love the most? And how the world hurts us and how we hurt the world, consciously and unconsciously. And we can't do this work without each other. When we do the work together, this work of the heart, we have some impact. We sit with the hurts, we get close. We allow it all to be seen, known, and loved. This year somehow, I see more clearly my conflict avoidance, learned honestly from my family of origin, that it's better to avoid at all costs saying anything about what's wrong. And then, of course, you have to balance that out with screaming sometimes. So it's not really workable, but that's how I lived for a long time. We're always on the way out of our conditioning, our life conditioning. So I pay kind attention to that avoidance in my heart. And I say what I want to say over and over again in my mind, but it doesn't always come out my mouth to the actual person. But if I don't pay attention to it, it really becomes a way to distance me from loved ones and friends that I care for. The avoidance is a narrow place, an ego defense. So I feel like I'll be learning for the rest of my life. Give me some more years, please, to learn about this teshuvah and sitting in front of a live human being and issues of forgiveness. So these 10 days of Tishrei, from the first day of Rosh Hashanah until Yom Kippur, are the Aseret Yamei HaTshuvah, the 10 days of repentance. They are the days of mercy and forgiveness, days dedicated to examining one's conscience, and specifically to amending one's ways. In some ways, our practice invites us to do that with every breath. With every breath that the source of life breathes into us, we turn to it, we return to it, and miraculously something turns us back into awareness of this moment, whether awful or awesome, torturous or beautiful. When we flee the moment, on return, we can notice where we went, what kind of narrative or sensation took us away. And so we see what the heart wants us to see, and it asks for our love. This fleeing and returning are our human rhythms of being alive in these narrow forms. Now is always the time to return from this flight of fancy and judgment of the mind. So we come home over and over to bring some loving energy to exactly how the divine is flowing through us right now, always reaching for us as close as our breath. If we would only shuv, turn toward this eternal presence in truth. Tonight, as night falls, we enter Shabbat Shuvah, Shabbat of Return. And I see that there is some health in feeling remorse for the ways that I've missed the mark and how I've hurt others and have been hurt by others. And I want to make the distinction, as I've talked about before, that remorse is different than guilt. Guilt is more self-making. Woe is me for what I have done. It's kind of more me-centered. It makes us more separate. Remorse has a feeling for the other, like a heartbreak that there was something that we would do that would hurt someone else. And so remorse is something that I think guides us to wake up to the suffering that we inadvertently caused. Not so healthy to berate ourselves and be unforgiving to ourselves about what we could or couldn't do, what we did or didn't do. For example, there's someone on the DCPI meditation community that I've been teaching this year who called to ask me whether she had to forgive the sibling from hell that she outlined in great detail. That person's egregious actions were quite horrific from how this person was recounting it. And she asked me, do I have to forgive her? Oh my gosh. I would say yes, theoretically, mainly because the lack of forgiveness eats away at us. But it's also okay to protect oneself from a serial bruiser. So to get some help in thinking about this, I want to quote our beloved teacher, Bobby Isberg, with words that she spoke during our Nishmat Chaim Rosh Hashanah service, even though many of you have probably heard it yourself. So addressing Unatana Tokef, the piyut that has been part of Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur liturgy for over 1,000 years. Wow, how moving to align ourselves with over 1,000 years of ancestral prayer. Katvenu b'sefer chayim, inscribe us in the book of life. So Bobby said, these are the words we repeat many times during these services. As children, we may have learned that on Rosh Hashanah, the book of life and the book of death are opened, and our name is written in one of them, and we don't know which one. We may have believed that the purely righteous are written into the book of life immediately, and the evil into the book of death. And those of us in between stand suspended right now from Rosh Hashanah until Yom Kippur. We may have believed what it says in Talmud, the teshuvah, turning, returning to Yud Hey Vav Hey, with fervent prayer and righteous deeds could tear up the evil decree. And this part I love, however, our liturgy has changed one word describing these mythical symbols. In our prayer practice, we say that these three devotional practices, teshuvah, return, tefillah, prayer, tzedakah, acts of loving kindness, can transform the evil decree. In other words, our prayers, our devotional practice, and our acts of righteousness will not change the decree, but rather they will change us, so that we can understand that death is not a judgment against us for our evil, nor is death evil in itself. Rather, death is part of this birth, life, death process. That is the nature of all living things. By aligning ourselves with Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh, the unfolding of being, by devotional practice, and by ethical living, we come to understand the birth, life, death process and accept that a time will come for this spirit to leave this breathing body. Thank you, Bobby. So I continue to ask for forgiveness to those who are no longer, even on this earth plane, as my consciousness evolves vis-a-vis what I did cause that person when alive. And it's important just even to notice things freshly. For every Jewish holiday, we have the opportunity to learn the wisdom of these practices anew, year after year. And we know that the teachings of every Jewish holiday offers us practices that we must do all year long, not just for 10 days. Our practice teaches us that turning means to face reality now. And where is it hard or bewildering or painful? And where is there some opening, some ease, some connection or insight? Can we call out in emet, in truth, to the one of compassion to help? Help, help us in this process of making amends. And can we explore what happens when we bring attention to ask for forgiveness or intention to forgive others? Abraham Heschel wrote, "No word is God's final word. Judgment, far from being absolute, is conditional. A change in human conduct brings about a change in God's judgment. The gates of repentance, Sharei Teshuvah, are always open before the Holy One of Blessing. We can see this directly when we turn back into awareness of this moment of the Godding process flowing through each of us and flowing through us all together. When we get close to our hurts, and as I say that, I'm hearing how close the word hurt is to heart. When we get close to our hurt heart in meditation, and learn moment by moment to bring some compassion to this being human, we change the relationship to the hurt we carry, and our heart opens. Our own judgment of ourselves can seem both much harsher than necessary, or else wriggling out of responsibility, making excuses, or even being oblivious to how we hurt others and how they've hurt us. We may make excuses for the other and ourselves that are not quite compassion, closer to denial. So Shabbat Tshuva asks of us, how can we make space for compassion? How can we take actions of compassion? How can we notice or feel the flow of compassion within us? That flow being one of many names for the divine. So our practice asks us to wake up to the nature of the guiding process, which is in some ways constant and some ways changing all the time within and around us. I don't know if I quite know how to really forgive or to ask for forgiveness, but I can call out from the depths of my lack, from my seeming inability and vulnerability and humility and desperation. Please, please help me. Please help us to live in your creation in ways that lessen harm. And that bring us close to you and to each other and to our own hearts. Some say these 10 days are a guide to enlightenment, how to wake up fully into this human experience in which there's a God flow, or which is a God flow. Can we awaken to the essence of this being? Can we loosen the bonds that confine us? Can we cry our hearts out? Can we feel this awe of being alive with a faithful presence that reaches for us? So I'll end with mentioning Alice Summers. If you haven't seen this 39-minute film about the oldest living Holocaust survivor when the film was being made, almost a decade ago, I recommend it. It's called Lady in Number 6. Alice survived Theresienstadt due in part to the fact that she was a transcendent concert pianist. The film, which was made in 2010, she was 109. And in the film, you see how she's transported by playing the piano and transports all who listen to her. And in fact, there are those who gather below her window at 10 o'clock in the morning every day to listen to her play. Just as the commanders of the concentration camp surely did. Alice says it was music that saved her life, and that music continues to save her life in this moment, when she was alive. But as this short movie unfolds, you see something else that undergirded her survival for so many decades after the atrocities. Alice refused religiously, and sometimes it seems like out of reality in some way. She refused to hate. She refused to hate anyone, period. End of story. And her teachings of forgiveness and the ability to share and produce beauty with each other are her offerings to each of us. Shabbat Shalom. Chatima Tova. You have a good signing.